Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Again, we always like to remind you the Zoom service is right after. And actually, based on the way the talk's going to go today, there's going to be a lot of slides discussing a specific idea that you might want to be in discussion about after and ask some questions. So check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for that link and join us in the Zoom session right after this. And now we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 24th. The key word is passion, and the affirmation is, my purpose fuels my passion. Purpose sets my heart aflame with passion. Each day I awaken ready to answer the call of my heart, to give my best efforts and fullest attention to purposeful activity. Passion is the energy I bring to everything that I do. I discover the glory of God through passion. As I do the things that make me feel the most alive, that fill me with energy and zeal and color the world with hope and promise, I recognize the divine presence behind it all. God is the source of all the passion I feel and the purpose that drives me. My passion is not for me alone. The life energy that radiates from me inspires those around me to live a life of purpose and passion, to boldly express their divinity as only they can. And the scripture is 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So this is going to be an interesting talk today, and it's really kind of geared towards those note takers who like to, take notes and then review what we talked about. And, you know, for those who have been with us for the past 5 weeks, we've been negotiating our way through the spiritual growth process with talks like, this is who you are really. Believe in God, is that enough? Experiencing life together, life, the transforming experience, and last week was imbued rather than construed. Okay. So this week's title is Completing the Work God Has Given You. Completing the Work God Has Given You. With a subtitle of Let Us Go Be the Miracle God Has Called Us to Be. And we're going to talk a lot about these two concepts today, the how-to of this whole process. You know, all of these lessons were designed to get us to think more clearly and deeply about our personal experiences and how to use our life experiences to expand our awareness of our indwelling divine potential and how to crack the cosmic egg that seems to keep us from living from it, or more specifically, living as it, right? And, you know, the new thought premise is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. It's not just Unity that says that. Like I've told you before, I've even heard Oprah say it. It's many different places you'll hear that idea that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. But it seems that when we entered into the human experience, we forgot who we were, okay? So every experience in our lives is trying to wake us up and help us to remember who, in truth, we really are. And as it's written in Psalm 82:6, it says, I've said you are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High. And Jesus repeated this to the Pharisees in John 10:34. He says, is it not written in your law? Because they were challenging him. He said, but is it not written in your law? I have said you are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High. So the obvious question is, if we are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High, how do we access the divine aspect of ourselves? Especially in those moments when what we are experiencing requires an immediate, tangible response instead of the promise of New Thought philosophy. Okay? And, you know, one of the New Thought philosophies that can be especially challenging is a concept that we create our own realities, you know, which is really not helpful when we're going through something that is especially challenging. So, you know, to be told, well, you're creating your own reality, it just didn't help, right, when we're struggling with something. But as Chippewa medicine man Sun Bear explains in his book, Walk in Balance, The Path to Healthy, Happy, Harmonious Living, this is what he says. Yes, we do create our own realities, but in complex and long-term ways. And I'm going to explain that more later. So we are creating our realities, but when he says in complex and long-term ways, it means that it's happening over a period of time, and we don't always realize what we're doing that leads to a reality we might be experiencing in a moment. So he says, for example, for someone in a bad situation, solving the crisis at hand must take priority over philosophical processing, meaning, how did I create this reality? It means that you just need to get to solving whatever is challenging you. And being a spiritual warrior is knowing the tools available to you and knowing which ones are most appropriate in any given circumstance. Okay, so let me just repeat that. Being a spiritual warrior is knowing the spiritual tools available to you and knowing which ones are most appropriate in any given circumstance. Okay, so life can throw an incredible variety of challenges at us, and often without warning. You know, all of a sudden, one day everything is fine, the next thing things are happening, you kind of go, wow, where did this come from? And I know that some folks do not like the term warrior, but Sun Bear uses the term spiritual warrior because that's significant to his culture. But it's also significant in our quest to awaken from the Adam dream of believing we are separate from God. And those who don't know what I mean by the Adam dream, you know, we were born spiritual beings, as it says in Genesis, okay, in the image and likeness of God. But Adam and Eve fell into a dream that we are no longer God. And in the second Adam, Jesus came to wake us up. Okay, so, you know, we're trying to wake up from this Adam dream, but we're separate from God. Now, the martial artist Bruce Lee explained that a warrior is the average person with laser-like focus. And Sitting Bull explained that warriors are not what you think of as warriors. The warrior is not someone who fights. The warrior for us is one who sacrifices his or her own needs for the good of others. His or her task is to take care of the elderly, the defenseless, and those who cannot provide for themselves, and above all, the children who are the future of humanity. Okay? And then there's an unknown author said, to be the best, you must be able to handle the worst. And that was his explanation of a warrior. Okay. So we're going to work a lot with this concept of spiritual warrior in this talk. And, you know, in the Bible especially, there's a whole idea about growing closer to God through the use of spiritual tools. So a spiritual warrior grows closer to God by the use of spiritual tools like prayer, meditation, spiritual concentration, and applying truth principles in all of his or her experiences. Okay? Now, a more radical view of the term spiritual warrior is expressed in chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. And I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to read that for yourself. Again, Ephesians 6, 11 through 12. But it basically expresses that spiritual warriors use spiritual tools to conquer whatever fearful obstructions are thrown in their path. Okay. Now explains that a spiritual warrior puts all of God's armor on so that you will be able to stand against all of the strategies and tricks of Satan. That's how it says in Scripture. But of course, we know, you know, that Satan is not a critter, right? A quick translation of Satan or the devil is that it is a state of consciousness adverse to the divine good that God is. So again, there is no anthropomorphic critter. Rather, there is the flaw in the human consciousness that acts in ways that are not of love, compassion, gentleness. All right. So, if you want a fuller explanation of the devil or the Satan, you can always go to the Revealing Word, which says Satan or the devil is the mass of thoughts that are accumulated in the consciousness of human race through generations of earthly experiences and crystallize into human personality that opposes and rejects God. The devils we encounter are fear, anger, jealousy, and other similar traits that exist within ourselves. So Christ gave us the power to cast out these inner devils, thus cleansing your consciousness for a higher purpose. Okay, so that's the kind of the idea of the devil, you know, as we know it in unity, which is quite different from what we may have known it to be in other religious experiences. Okay? And the concept that we are subject to the mass thoughts that have accumulated in the consciousness of the human race through many generations of earthly experiences and crystallized into human personalities goes back to what Sun Bear could have meant when he was referring to when he said, we do create our own realities, but in complex, long-term ways. Okay, in a way, we are the sum total of all those who have come before us. As Dr. Carl Jung says, we stand on the shoulders of the generation that came before us. All right? So a lot of the stuff that's going through our minds that we're struggling with is partially our own dynamic and the way we interpret our life. But a lot of it is sort of embedded in the subconscious mind of the human race. As Dr. Carl would call it, the collective unconscious. Okay, so that's the reason for doing the spiritual work, to become conscious so that you have the ability to filter out those things that are not helping you to live the life that you want to live. So thus the analogy of the spiritual warrior, especially as expressed in, and that's, you know, so we're coming at this with an energy, a fervor, and we're going to look more in detail in terms of what that spiritual warrior is. But let's look at it as it is expressed in Tibetan Buddhism, which explains that a spiritual warrior is one who combats the universal enemy, which is self-ignorance and the ultimate source of suffering. Okay? So it's one who combats the universal enemy, which is self-ignorance. Self-ignorance means I don't understand why my life is going the way it's going. Okay? And he says that that is the ultimate source of suffering. So repeating again what Sun Bear said, being a spiritual warrior is knowing the tools available to you and knowing which ones are most appropriate in any given circumstance. Okay? The question is, what are those tools? Now, I did mention above that the spiritual tools we are most familiar with are prayer, meditation, spiritual contemplation, and applying truth principles. But we're going to look at the 8 traits of a spiritual warrior to help you combat avidya. All right? Now, I'm going to explain what that means, avidya. All right? Now, this comes from an article that's found on Deepak Chopra's website. Now, from here on, we're really going to go through a bunch of slides because this is going to give us the information of what are these 8 tools, these 8 traits that a spiritual warrior uses to combat avidya. All right. Now, again, if you're interested in seeing the article, and mostly the article is in this talk, You can go to Deepak's website and look for those 8 traits of a spiritual warrior. Now, the term avidya basically means ignorance, misconception, misunderstanding. So that's why these 8 traits are trying to teach us how to get around this idea of ignorance, misconception, and misunderstanding. And avidya is the opposite of vidya, which means knowledge, clarity, and higher learning. So from these 8 steps, we want to try to understand how to move from avidya, spiritual ignorance, to vidya, which is spiritual understanding. Okay. Now, as I said, these are 8 slides we're going to go through. And what I did in addition to the information that I got from my research is I added a Bible verse to each one of the traits. So we're going to go over the 8 traits or 8 tools or 8 characteristics of a spiritual warrior, okay? And, you know, just stay with it because you're going to begin to understand that a spiritual warrior is very different from what we might have thought a warrior is, okay? So, again, remember, 8 slides back to back. So stay with me on this. And you can take notes for yourself, hopefully it's notes that you might want to discuss in the Zoom fellowship after this, but we'll have these slides available for anyone that you might want to go back over. So you can actually also make a note to yourself that I like to go back over slide number so-so. Okay, so here we go. So the first trait of a spiritual warrior is a spiritual warrior must expand his or her awareness. Observation without condemnation. If you're going to travel, you know, the path of a spiritual warrior, especially as described in Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, you must go through the remaining, vigilance. You have to go through life, remaining vigilant of everything that's occurring in your life and around your life. So when you pay close attention to yourself, your thoughts, words, actions, perceptions, beliefs, and opinions, you at the same time deprive self-ignorance from taking root in your consciousness. Okay? So the key here, if we look at Matthew 26:41, it's the same thing. Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Okay? So this first trait is about staying completely aware of what is happening in your life. All right. So, the second trait. There you go, sweetie. Okay. So the second trait is courage. All right. First one is awareness. Second one, courage. Now, martial artist Bruce Lee said, "Do not pray for an easy life. Instead, pray for the strength to endure the difficulties in your life." Now, think about that. All right, because you know you're going to run through into difficulties. Rarely do you just have a pure, easy life. There's always something that's going to challenge you. So what he's saying is that don't pray for an easy life. That's typically not going to come. But pray to be able to have the strength to endure the difficulties in your life. You want to develop the strength and courage to face danger, fear, pain, and uncertainty as you travel the path to spiritual mastery. And again, Joshua 9:19, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right? So now, the third trait is discipline. The word that a lot of us don't really like. But discipline is the ability to restrain yourself, to control your impulses, desires, or emotions for the sake of spiritual awakening. Okay, so let me just cut to the chase. Discipline is for the sake of spiritual awakening. Living the disciplined life is for the sake of spiritual awakening. And lack of self-control keeps us asleep, unaware of our indwelling divine potential. All right. So discipline also means to keep doing what is necessary to stay on the spiritual path. The spiritual warrior knows there will be obstacles on the journey. But when those occur, self-discipline keeps us spiritually connected when others just choose to quit. And if we look at Hebrews 12:11, it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." All right? Trained by discipline. Okay. Now, the fourth trait is restlessness.
Relentlessness.
I'm sorry. Thank you, sweetie. Relentlessness. It implies a persistent and determined intention to seek out false beliefs, attempts to fool yourself, and ego delusions. The spiritual warrior understands that ignorance is a tenacious adversary that requires daily and consistent attentiveness so as to not let it take you by surprise. And again, we know what Bible verse goes along with this. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Okay. Now, the fifth trait is metacognition. Matter of fact, if you go out to the website and look this up, they didn't use metacognition. I preferred metacognition in this one because it's the awareness and understanding of one's own thought process. Okay. As your awareness and spiritual discipline grows, the warrior of light recognizes the slippery nature of the mind and how easily you can fool yourself, right? So in the space of expanded consciousness, you learn to anticipate the stories you tell yourself and the ways you hide from truth and how you stubbornly defend your false sense of self. And you know about the stories we tell ourselves when something is challenging us. You know, we can have these fearful stories, especially based on our history, what has happened before in similar situations. But it's saying you're going to learn, a spiritual warrior learns how to anticipate the stories that you tell yourself and the ways you hide from the truth, right? And how you stubbornly offend your false sense of self. Okay? Now, scripture, Philippians 4:8. Remember, you want only good thoughts going through your mind. So whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think only of these things. And that's how you work through that metacognition or telling ourselves false stories. Okay, the sixth trait is patience, right? And patience is the calm acceptance that everything happens according
not,
to...
Not everything.
Excuse me, sweetie?
That not everything.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate having Pam here to keep me on point. So patience is the calm acceptance that not everything happens according to your timeline. We all know that everything happens in divine timing, okay? So this patience, this virtue of a spiritual warrior, helps us to remain calm and patient, knowing that things are happening in divine timing. And it allows you to be content as well as pause, wait, and endure and allow things to unfold in their own way. So the spiritual warrior doesn't act out of being needy, okay? You don't push or demand that the universe comply with your wishes. Instead, you recognize that a bigger picture is unfolding. And therefore, you can calmly be in the moment. And when the right time becomes known, the spiritual warrior seizes the opportunity and takes spontaneous and transformative right action. And we go to Isaiah 30:18. It says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, God will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is good as a God of justice. And blessed are all who patiently wait for God." Okay. So now, the seventh trait is sweetness. Now, sweetness might seem like a strange attribute for a spiritual warrior, right? But as the Dalai Lama explains, compassion and tolerance are not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. It is easy to be hurtful and mean to yourself and others. Kindness, compassion, and sweetness in the face of anger or ignorance requires enormous strength and understanding. Seeing the world from higher ground allows you to act and speak from a place of sweetness that benefits everyone you encounter. And again, we go to Proverbs 24:13-14. My child, eat honey, for it is good for you. Just as the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste, know that wisdom thus is good for your soul. And if you find it, then sweetness will be your future. I love that. All right? So, the eighth and the last attribute, okay, of course, is love. And to the spiritual warrior, love is all there is. Now, let me say that again for people who struggle with this idea of being a warrior. To the spiritual warrior, love is all there is. It is the core of your being, and you know it is the core of all other beings. You, as a spiritual warrior, exist with love as your source. Expanding the field of love for both yourself and others is the ultimate goal of the spiritual warrior. Love heals all wounds. It is that transformative power that can change the world. The spiritual warrior shines the light of his or her love into the darkness of ignorance, not to destroy it, but to transmute it into wisdom and love. Okay. Now, let's go to the next one, sweetie.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so you know we needed a whole slide just to do the Bible verse for love, right? And we know it is going to be 1 Corinthians and here 13:4-8. Love is patient. And remember, we're talking about a spiritual warrior now, all right, who's operating from love, knowing that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never ends. So, thank you, sweetie, for running those slides for me. That was helpful. So, I think I've got time to do a story that might wrap all of this spiritual warrior ideas into something that we might be able to relate to. And in this story, it's about a master and a teacher and a tiger. And let's perceive the tiger as being the challenge that might be coming at us, all right? And we need to try to figure out which of the spiritual tools are we going to use in order to deal with this challenge. And that you'll hear the teacher name the different challenges, okay? So a teacher and his student were walking from one village to another when they suddenly heard a roar behind them. And turning their gaze in the direction of the roar, they saw it was a big tiger following them. So the first thing the student wanted to do, of course, was run away like any of us. But since he had been studying and practicing self-discipline, he was able to stop himself from running and wait to see what his teacher would do. So what should we do, master? The student asked. Well, the teacher looked at the student and answered in a calm voice, well, there are several options. We can fill our mind with paralyzing fear, like, you know, many of us probably would do or do when we know something is really challenging our lives. So he said, we can fill our minds with paralyzing fear so that we cannot move, and then the tiger can come and do whatever it wants with us because we're just frozen. He said, we could run away, but the tiger is faster than us and will, you know, run us down. As a matter of fact, I read a quote that said, if you run from your troubles and the troubles catch you, you will just die tired. So he said, so we could run, but, you know, that wouldn't work. Another option we could just, what we could do is just faint, play dead. Okay? And another option would be to fight, but he said, that's not a good choice because the tiger is much stronger than we are. He said, other options are we could pray to God to save us, or we could, you know, try sending the tiger some love. Okay? He says, all of which would take time and a lot of concentration. Or we can choose to influence the tiger with the power of our mind. But again, he said, that requires a lot of concentration. However, we can focus and meditate on the power that is within us and on the fact that we are one with the entire universe, including the tiger, and in this way influence its soul. Well, which option do you choose? The master asked the student. The student replies, well, you're the master, So you tell me what to do. He says, you don't have much time. The master turns his gaze fearlessly towards the tiger, emptied his mind of all thoughts, anything that could be of fear or anything at all. He just emptied his mind of all thoughts and entered into a deep state of meditation. In his consciousness, he embraced everything in the universe, including the tiger. Now, I want to sort of just kind of emphasize, we might be saying that, I don't know if I could clear my mind in a situation like that. But we could enter into a state where we embrace everything in the universe, including the tiger, into a state of oneness and wholeness within ourselves. I think we could do that. And he said, in this state of consciousness, the teacher became one with the consciousness of the tiger. Meanwhile, the student started to shiver with fear as the tiger was already quite close, ready to take a leap on them. But then the student was amazed at how his teacher could stay so calm, and here's the word, detached in the face of danger. Okay. And meanwhile, the teacher continued to meditate without fear. And after a while, the tiger gradually lowered its head and tail and turned away and just went away. And the student was astonished. And he asked his teacher, what did you do? Nothing, said the teacher. I just cleared all thoughts from my mind and unified myself in spirit with the tiger. And we became unified in peace on a spiritual level. And the tiger sensed the inner calm and peace and unity and felt no threat or need to display violence. When the mind is silent and calm, its peace is automatically transmitted to everything and everyone around, including deeply felt fears that we may be going through. And so the teacher concluded, saying that this is what you want to do in times of danger. Learn how to clear your mind, okay, of all that's going on, and enter into a state of peace and unification with all the universe and everything that's around you. Okay? Again, not an easy process. A quick story I can tell is when my daughter-in-law, Patrice, was in Alaska, the Army was in charge of taking care of the people outside of the base within a 50-mile radius. And there was an avalanche. And a man was covered up in the avalanche. And we later got to meet him. And he said, I laid there peacefully. You know, he says, nothing I could do, but I just laid there peacefully. And, of course, what happened was Detrice got the message that it had happened, sent out her forces, and they were able to find the man, dig him up, and save his life. But the thing he kept saying, because we got to meet him, when Pam and I went there, he said, I laid there in ultimate peace, not having any idea how I was going to be saved, but knowing that it was going to happen. So that's a practice we want to work with. All right. So I know there's a lot, so I want to end with this affirmation for you to meditate on this coming week. I rest in calm faith and quiet expectancy. I rest in calm faith and quiet expectancy. I am sustained and inspired by a divine stream of spirit energy as enthusiasm and vitality. And that is so it is. That's how it is. And we are now going to have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's begin by taking a moment to settle your body into a comfortable position. Lengthen your spine and soften your shoulders and your jaw. Close your eyes or take a downward gaze. Just let go and just be. Take a deep breath in and exhale. Take another deep breath in and exhale. One more time, deeply in and exhale deeply out. You are God's precious creation, a clear channel of divine love and a radiant expression of divine life. You are the living embodiment of pure potential. Please take the following words that you hear as your very own. I take this moment to release any judgments I hold about myself. I let go of any thought that I may not be enough. On the contrary, I am unique and I am amazing. There is no one else in the world exactly like me. I am worthy of love just as I am, and I am more than enough. Within me is all that I need to be who I want to be and live the life I want to live. I am divine strength and power. I am divine creativity and wisdom. I am divine compassion and understanding. I am a presence of love that uplifts and blesses the world. Every moment of every day is a new opportunity for me to share my unique gifts and welcome the abundance of the universe. Now take these next few moments and find yourself in the secret place of the Most High. Here, listen for guidance, release what needs to be released, and enter into that space in consciousness where all is well with your soul. As you prepare to return to your day, realize how very precious you are and that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. For all our blessings, we do give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We hope you found hope and encouragement in this worship service today.
Great. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And we are truly thankful for all the gifts that have been coming to support Unity Center of Light. So we ask you to hold your gift in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, because we know a lot of you give through automatic giving and PayPal and many other ways. And if you're new to this and you want to know how to give, just look in the comments below and you will see a list of ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we thank you in advance for that. So with that in mind, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we will have Light Notes.
Light Notes for today, Sunday, October 24th. Please join us for another Courageous Conversations with Reverend Michelle Senegal on Sunday, October 31st, following the Zoom Fellowship. Michelle will facilitate our journey through effective listening skills, clear and compassionate communication, and more. Our theme for our 30th anniversary is 30 for 30, giving back and giving forward. We like to support our local food pantry and would like to show this support by asking those who are able to make a donation of or a gift of $30 to Unity Center of Light and designate it to the food pantry. And 30 for 30 giving forward is giving the gift of $30 if you're able and payable to the Unity Center of Light for the future of our center. One of our Unity Center family members has graciously and generously offered to anonymously match your donation of $30 to the food pantry and $30 to the future of Unity Center of Light, up to $60. So please be sure to mark what your donations are for. Let us know your intentions, as our donor wants to match what you give. The Unity Book Club will meet Sunday, November the 14th. Please see the link in your newsletter and your updates. And the Unity Discussion Group with the booklet Worthy is still going on, so please check your updates and newsletter for those links. Now we have something special. We're having a great connection event on November the 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. Now, I'm not talking about the connection that we've been having like in Zoom. This is going to be in person. We are going to meet in person in a safe, socially distant way. We will be outside of our building where our offices are. We can mask up and get together outside of our building to see one another and get our Advent booklets and 2021 calendars. Additional booklets and calendars are available for $1 each. And if you are unable to attend at this time on November the 20th, let us know if you want a booklet and or a calendar, and we will get them to you. The event is from 1 to 3 p.m.
You meant 22.
Hmm?
22 calendar.
Oh, what did I say, 21?
Yeah.
Okay, not a 21 calendar. That wouldn't help you at all, would it? No, a 2022 calendar. Thank you, dear.
All right. So, we are about to
bless the path that we all will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, now we're going to do our prayer for protection.
Yes.
Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to be with you today in this service, and we hope to see you in the Zoom service right after this, where we can have discussion, you can listen to some music, and interact with your Unity family. So other than that, have a wonderful week.
Yes.
All right. We will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.